Simon & Schuster Audio presents
Dark Corners, written by Ruth Rendell and read by Rick Jerram. But why the fascination with psychopaths? Well, Rendell says in her precise voice, I do empathize with people who are driven by dreadful impulses. I think to be driven to want to kill must be such a terrible burden. I try, and I think I succeed, in making my readers feel pity for my psychopaths because I do. Taken from an interview with Marianne MacDonald, Sunday Telegraph magazine, 10th of April, 2005. Chapter 1. For many years, Wilfred Martin collected samples of alternative medicines, homeopathic remedies, and herbal pills. Most of them he never used, never even tried because he was afraid of them, but he kept the lot in a cupboard in a bathroom in his house in Falcon Mews, Maida Vale, and when he died, they went, along with the house and its contents, to his son, Carl. Carl's mother recommended throwing it all out. It was junk, harmless at best, possibly dangerous, all those bottles and jars and sachets just taking up room. But Carl didn't throw it out because he couldn't be bothered. He had other things to do. If he had known how it, or one particular item among all the rest, would change his life, transform it, ruin it, he would have emptied the lot into a plastic bag, carried the bag down the road and dumped it in the big rubbish bin. Carl had taken over the former family home in Falcon Mews at the beginning of the year, his mother having moved to Camden when his parents divorced. For a while, he thought no more about the contents of his bathroom cupboard. He was occupied with his girlfriend Nicola, his novel, Death's Door, which had just been published, and with letting the top floor of his house. He had no need of those two rooms, plus kitchen and bathroom, and great need of the rent. Excited though he was about the publication of his first book, he was not so naive at 23 as to suppose he could live by writing alone. Rents in central London had reached a peak, and Falcon Mews, a crescent, looping out of Sutherland Avenue to Castellan Road in Maida Vale, was highly desirable and much sought after. So he placed an advertisement offering accommodation in the Paddington Express. And next morning, 20 prospective tenants presented themselves on his doorstep. Why he chose the first applicant, Dermot MacKinnon, he never knew. Perhaps it was because he didn't want to interview dozens of people. It was a decision he was bitterly to regret. But not at the beginning. The only drawback Dermot seemed to have was his appearance, his uneven yellow teeth, for instance, his extreme thinness and round shoulders. But you don't decide against a tenant because his looks are unprepossessing, Carl told himself, and no doubt the man could pay the rent. Dermot had a job at the Sutherland Pet Clinic in the next street and produced a reference from the chief veterinarian there. Carl asked him to pay each month's rent at the end of the previous month, and perhaps the first mistake he made was to request that it be paid not by transfer into his bank account, but in notes or a check in an envelope left at Carl's door. Carl realized that these days this was unusual, but he wanted to see the rent come in, take it in his hand. Dermot put up no objection. Carl had already begun work on a second novel, having been encouraged by his agent, Susanna Griggs, to get on with it. He didn't expect an advance payment until he had finished it, and Susanna and his editor had read and accepted it. There was no payment promised on paperback publication of Death's Door, as no one expected it to go into paperback. Still, what with being both a published author with good prospects and a landlord receiving rent, Carl felt rich. Dermot had to enter Carl's house by the front door and go up two flights of stairs to get to his flat, but he made no noise and, as he put it, kept himself to himself. Carl had already noticed his tenant was a master of the cliché. And for a while, everything...